Machines were created to be our partners, designed to handle tough jobs faster, more efficiently, and with precision. On site, they've become our right hand, our extended arm, tirelessly supporting every move. But what if they could do even more? Imagine a future where machines don't just get the job done, but communicate seamlessly and become our second set of eyes, monitor operations remotely, and even step in as guardians, boosting safety and productivity.
Bauma Talk. Insights into the construction machinery industry.
Welcome to Bauma Talk, ladies and gentlemen. In this fourth episode, we'll explore the future of network construction and talk about how connected machines offer many opportunities to revolutionize the way we work on construction sites. Our two guests are Katharina Schick, project engineer at Liebherr, and Benjamin Beck from Construction Future Lab. Both are experts in the field of connectivity for construction equipment. Ben specializes in the external connectivity of machines, while Katharina focuses on their internal connectivity. This means we are capturing two valuable perspectives today. It's great to have you with us. Welcome to Bauma Talk.
Hi, thank you for having us today.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, Benjamin. Hi, Katharina. So to kick off the topic, I suggest to start with two questions that reflect your personal view on machines. Ben, if you could give one superpower to the machines on your laboratory construction site, what would it be and how would it change your workday?
I think I would give the machines an interface so that I can talk to the machine like to a real person. So something like this, give me all your information about the progress of the work that I can write maybe an interim invoice to my client.
Oh, that sounds like a smart communication approach here. Yeah. So, Katharina, if you could choose a professional moment from the last 5 years that you could live through again, what would it be and why?
Yeah, I think choose the moment from last Bauma in 2022 when we received the Bauma Innovation Award in the category for digitization with the MIG 4.0 project. I think that was a very big moment that rewarded a lot of hard work. So I would relive that again if I could.
And it was a great achievement indeed. I took part in that. So, congratulations again, even though it's 3 years ago. So let's take a look at the status quo. Ben, to set the stage and to ensure that we are all on the same page, could you give us a snapshot of the current state of network construction? I mean, where does the industry stand today and what are the key trends shaping its development?
Sure. As you introduced, we have these two perspectives, the communication on the machines and the communication from the machine to external systems. So I will take the view from, let's say, a construction company and address the external communication. And construction companies must manage their projects in terms of time, quality, and quantity. And the construction machines provide crucial information for the project management. Good news are many new construction machines come with pre-installed connectivity modules, which send these informations like positions, tank levels, error codes. This data is sent to the via this connectivity module, via mobile communication to the server of the OEMs. And as construction companies have the option to purchase a service software from the manufacturer or use an already established standardized server-to-server interface in accordance with ISO 15143-3. The future trend is that interoperability plays a big role and will be becoming increasingly important because construction companies do have machines from multiple OEMs, the so-called mixed fleet systems.
So you have outlined now that data and connectivity are essential for managing fleets. And Katharina, interoperability is becoming more and more important in that context. We've learned that as well. But it doesn't seem to be easy, Benjamin, you just mentioned that, because when we talk about machines and attachments, they come from different manufacturers. So how do you view this challenge from a machine-specific perspective?
Yeah, so as you said, the tools and machines that are working on a construction site, they do come from different manufacturers because they're also getting more specialized and more, in that case, more efficient to better complete the work. But the problem today is if we want smarter, better functions, the current interfaces that we have today between the machines and the attachments, which are mostly just hydraulic, are just not enough to work for these smarter functions. So also on the machine, we have an issue of interoperability, that we need better ways to communicate between the excavator and the attachment that the excavator uses.
And this is where MIG 4.0 comes into play, right? I mean, this is a game changer we are talking about here. So tell us a bit more about it and explain us how it works.
Yes, exactly. So the MIG 4.0 Buzz is a project that has been in development in the last couple of years at the MIG 4.0 project of the VDMA. And the MIG Buzz is a CAN bus communication standard, which is supposed to simplify and standardize the communication between the excavator and the attachments that it uses. So the idea is that I can just, with my excavator, pick up an attachment, and if the mechanical and hydraulic interface fits, the communication can work right away and I can start working right away with the attachment. So kind of a plug-and-work solution. And the goal was to allow this no matter what manufacturer the tools and attachments are from. So really focused on working with the machines and attachments on the construction site.
So the whole focus on standardization sounds really promising. Can you maybe give us a concrete example of how the MIG 4.0 bus works in practice on a construction site? As I understand it, the focus is on active attachments, right?
Yes, that's correct. So I think the prime example for a tool where MIG 4.0 bus is going to help on the construction site is a tilt rotator, which is a tool that you can attach to your excavator and it acts like a wrist for the arm of the excavator, so you can very accurately maneuver your attachment that you are doing the work with. And so today, yeah, we are kind of limited there because the machine just has the hydraulic interface. But for the smart functions, we need also the electronic interface. And with the MIG 4.0 bus, you can send control commands directly to the tilt rotator, say, please tilt, please rotate, please operate the grapple in a standardized way so that it works no matter what manufacturer the tilt rotator or the excavator is from.
Mm-hmm. So Ben, back to your business. I can imagine there are similar challenges for the communication from the machine to the cloud and the backend, because as we know, you are dealing with interoperability, but from a different perspective. We've learned that in the intro as well.
Yeah, sure. Luckily, we have this standard of ISO 15143-3, but unfortunately, it has its limitations. There is initially too much room for interpretation in some data points. And this is why also MIG 4.0 comes into play with the working group machine data. This group has been established to address this issue of this interpretation, room for interpretation, and created already added value for construction companies. So there will be some published results from this working group. I think at next Bauma, we will see something. But there are two major disadvantages in the signal transmission of this interface. The first thing is we have to rely on public mobile coverage for receiving new values. And the other point is data is received at least every 15 minutes, which is quite a long time for some use cases like real-time monitoring or remote control. That wouldn't be enough for these two use cases.
That's a big gap, to name it. I mean, 15 minutes, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
So when it comes to both machine and backend communication, you probably need a standard so that you overcome this topic of different manufacturers, right?
Yeah, that's correct. As I said, it's the same technical aspect like in the interface between the machine and the attachment tools. So the overall topic for us both is interoperability. If you have mixed fleets and want to fit everything together perfectly and do automated checkups and configurations and don't want to do effort on proprietary interfaces and develop every single interface, you need interoperability to get solutions ready and usable in the market.
Yeah, and we talked before this podcast and you said it was probably one of the most challenging tasks you've ever worked on to find this common standard, that it doesn't work without it. So that's a word, Ben, for sure. Maybe take us in a little more. Can you explain why it is so difficult to find a universal standard? I mean, what makes it so challenging to establish an overarching data format? Is it mainly about the technology or are there even more topics?
Yeah, there are more topics. If you only look on the technical side, it's not a problem at all. Technically, it's solved. There are some details, but technically, mostly it's solved. I think there are more organizational and political challenges, like in every standardization process. Yeah? I mean, everybody has its own focus and its own products, and it will cost some initial effort to change your company processes or something like this. And as I remember correctly, to the beginning of the MIG 4.0 work, there was a situation like there were some discussions which go around in circles. Construction companies want data. Machine manufacturers are supposed to supply everything, but are faced with the challenges of the technical implementation. And therefore, it helps totally to know why someone wants this data point. For which use case do you want to use it? And this is really a big motivation point, which has to be solved in the first place. Because when the use case is clear and clearly described, everybody knows why we need this data for which situation.
Yeah, and that's where machines and construction come into play again, bringing all the key players together at one table. So how does the MIG 4.0 bus specifically address the challenges mentioned, Katharina?
Yeah, so we definitely had the same challenges that Ben just described. But I think MIG as a project, as a unique way of bringing the relevant players together. So with 126 members from 8 European countries, and the group is still growing. And from these members, there's both the construction machines, there's the assistance system manufacturers, but also like the construction companies, which have to use the solutions in the end. So bringing this together is like step one. Like specifically for the MIG 4.0 bus, I think what helped us in the development process was that we always said, we focus clearly on the customer benefit. So anything that we develop always has to keep in mind the benefit of the people at the construction companies. And that, like, every time there was a big discussion, in the end, it came back to that. What is the best solution for the customer? And I think we did a pretty good job keeping that in mind and using that as like a guiding light. So yeah, now that we have published version 1 of the MIG 4.0 bus, and I think it addresses a lot of issues that the users have, and it will in the future make their jobs a lot easier.
And maybe for those companies who are not part of the circle already, can they just join in, or how does it work to be a member?
Yes, you can join the MIG 4.0 working group. I think you have to talk to the colleagues at VDMA about it. You can also come talk to us at Bauma. They will be there if you want to join. So yeah, they can give you all the information. But of course, yeah, we want new members to join, because I think your standard only works well as a standard if a lot of companies use it. So everyone is very welcome to join. And we see that there are new members coming in, but also the results of the work are public. So they can already be downloaded today at the MIG 4.0 website. So if you are interested in how it works, what is it, in full detail, you can download it from the MIG website and also implement it on your products if you just want to use it and not do the whole discussion work with us. But I invite you to do it.
Okay. And maybe another step would be to join you at the Bauma and to get to know more about this topic.
Exactly.
So Ben, I guess the motivation and the advantage are quite clear, but how do you ensure interoperability at this stage?
That's a good question. I think we have two main topics to solve to ensure interoperability. The first is a standard with standard semantics. And in the next step, we need also testing and certification of interfaces.
I'd like to get a better understanding of how semantics work in practice. Could you give us an example, maybe, and also explain how MIG 4.0 implements certification?
Now we have to go a little bit deeply into the technical details. defining variables in software. You, as a developer, have to decide how do you name the variable. And when we're talking about standardized semantics and interoperability, we are talking about that we find a common definition of one variable. Let's say we three have to agree about a name for the variable for the position or for the tank level. It's replaceable. Then we have to find a decision and call it maybe last known position. Mm-hmm. And we have to give it a unit, like in degrees in GPS coordinates or something like this. And in the next step, we have to say how we define it. Let's say we have three digits before and one digit after the decimal point. It's like we are talking together. We know our words. We have agreed to speak in English here and we know the English words, and then we can understand each other. And it's the same topic to do it in software for the interoperability interfaces in the machines.
Yeah. And it's probably important to have a test tool as well, right?
That's correct. If you want to do testing and certification of what we have implemented into the software, we have then a document that we have done it right. And that's the reason why we have to test it. And the basis of the test, we can give a document that the test was good. And this is exactly what MIG 4.0 is doing with ISO 15143-3 data. They have developed a test tool and list all the positive results within the database space. And this gives construction companies the assurance that the products are compliant.
Mm-hmm. Katharina, back to the machine side. How does the MIG 4.0 bus ensure interoperability there? I mean, you also have a protocol, right?
Yes. So what we developed in the last couple of years is exactly as Ben just described, a common definition of how data will be exchanged. So that's control commands. How can the excavator send them to the attachment so that the attachment understands it? That's definitions. How does the attachment tell the machine how much pressure it needs on the hydraulic circuit? So that was the work of the last couple of years, which is like basis that allows plug-in work operation of attachments. All around that, if we are working on the machine, safety is always a concern. We also had a very deep look at what do we need to make the operation of attachments safe. And that all comes together in the MIG 4.0 bus documentation. The whole idea is that if you have a machine which supports MIG and if you have an attachment which supports MIG, of course, they need to be mechanically and hydraulically compatible, but then you can just plug in and start working with it. And that greatly simplifies the interoperability. Because if you have a second machine with MIG and you want use the same tool on the machine, no matter from which manufacturer, you can use it right away. And that, I think, is a great opportunity for future development of attachments on excavators. And also what we kept in mind is, of course, on an excavator, there's different systems already working together. So you have assistant systems like 3D systems, and also the MIG 4.0 bus already is equipped in a way that it can provide data, geometry data about the attachment to these systems. That also makes interoperability then a lot easier if you don't have to do a detailed setup process. But yeah, other systems can just use the data that's on the bus and you can start working right away. That's another big advantage. And I think if we look in Ben's direction, the MIG bus also allows for the counting of working hours, for example, because today you often don't know what tool is working on which machine for how long. And if you have a machine and an attachment with MIG, you get this information. You know, okay, the excavator on my construction site has been working for 3 hours with this tool. And that, I think, in a maybe second step, also gives the opportunity for new functions from a fleet management perspective that you can better monitor progress on the construction site and so on.
So you have a valuable collection of data and you've given many answers already, but there might be any challenges emerging in this context as well. What are we talking about here, Katharina?
Yeah, so of course, it's a new system. It's a little bit different from the systems that we have today. So, of course, we will have some kind of initial phase, some kind of ramp-up phase where people have to take a chance and buy the products which use MIG 4.0 bus. Same, I think, for any new technology on the machine, around the machine, and so on. So there's kind of a initial investment that you have to do if you want to work with a new technology. I think that some people might worry about that.
Yeah, thinking of small to medium-sized enterprises, I mean, how can they overcome the high initial costs of the implementation? And for those who are at the very beginning, how can they take their first steps toward independent connected solutions?
So I think that of course, it's a big step. Any new technology is a little bit of a risk initially, but I think you can minimize the risk that you are taking if you get informed and do your research, what systems are there. And my advice or my suggestion would be look for systems that use standards that are based on industry standards, because then you are not investing in a little niche something where you will be stuck because you invested there. But if you look for systems that use standards, then the interoperability that it allows gives you more flexibility going into the future. So that might be a step that you can take on the machine and around the machine to, if you are going to invest, to make it a little bit safer.
Yeah, very important. That's a chance indeed. So now that we've discussed the challenges and the importance of interoperability, let's shift our focus to the technological opportunities that lie ahead and look at concrete use cases for this technology. Ben, could you give us successful examples of machine-to-cloud connectivity that we maybe can draw inspiration from?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, as I said earlier, the project management plays really a big role for the construction companies. And when we look on the machines, they firstly have to do the so-called fleet management use case. You want to know, where are your machines? How long did they work? How is the fuel status in the machine? So that I can manage the following logistics for my machine fleet. And the good thing is, if we have a standard like the MIG 4.0 machine data, which is based on ISO 15143-3 with lower interpretation room and is tested and certified, I have the assurance that I can do my project management or my fleet management in the right way with every machine from every OEM who stands in this database. And this is really, really a good step.
So that was the focus on the project and the fleet management and the benefits that come along with it. So now I would like to sum it up a little bit. What's the long-term impact of connectivity on the construction industry overall? And this question goes out to you both.
Yeah, so I think if we keep working towards better connectivity, we have a good chance to really allow for new development of innovations, because I think there's 1,000 ideas that we could do based on the data that is collected on the construction site. But today, yeah, we often run into the problem that the data quality is not how we want it, or data availability is not how we want it. So I think if we could keep pushing in that direction, we will see so much innovation, better efficiency, and so on the construction site. But we need to do the groundwork first.
Yeah, but you're on a good way, Benjamin.
Yes,
it will be a long journey for sure.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say that maybe we can focus more on the intended work which should be done. When I think about documentation and things like that, we would totally like to automate these processes based on the machine data so that I don't have to fill in forms in documents and concentrate on the real work, so the construction project.
Mm-hmm. So let's do that together. I was wondering what future trends should listeners watch out for in network construction and which ones can be observed at Bauma, and you will be there as well. So tell us a bit more what will be on display at Bauma 2025 from your side.
From the MIG 4.0 perspective, on the machine side, you should definitely look for any new attachments, excavators, which support the MIG 4.0 standard, because that is my focus and where I will be very happy if we see a lot of those, because I think that's what will help you on the construction side. But I think I expect that there will be a lot of ideas going around at Bauma about what can we do if we have data, what ideas, or like Ben mentioned earlier, I think we will see a lot of companies that are looking to use the data that we collect to make any process around the construction machine, a construction process, more efficient. And yeah, you said we will be at Bauma. That's correct. So there will be a MIG 4.0 booth again in Lab Zero at the Bauma, where you will probably be able to find me most of the week and also colleagues from other companies that are working on the MIG 4.0 project. So if you want to talk about that in more detail, look out for that. But also take a look at the booths from the member companies, because I think a lot of them will also be featuring products with MIG 4.0.
And Benjamin, where will be your active field at Bauma 2025?
Yeah, I think we will see some future solutions in the VR experience and also in on the Science Hub booths. Everything is located in Lab Zero, so the B0 hall is the place to be to look into the future, I think. But I think we can also see some good solutions in the mining industry. Mining plays also a big role at Bauma, and it's the environment of mining is a little bit more static than on classical construction sites. So they are on technology view a little bit more developed, or have more chances to bring solutions earlier in their products. I think we can see some good technologies in the mining industry and maybe adapted to classical construction sites, which we are talking about.
Definitely. So meet Benjamin and Katharina there. Thank you so much for taking part in this podcast.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to me. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've gained some valuable insights into the future of connected construction and the role that MIG 4.0 is playing at that transformative process. Be sure to visit Lab Zero Hall at Bauma to see the MIG 4.0 bus in action and learn more about the exciting developments in network constructions, which is one of the key topics of Bauma. As we look ahead, the next episode will dive into the topic sustainable construction. Don't miss that. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us again. Until then, keep exploring, stay connected, and see you at Bauma.
Bauma Talk is presented to you by Messe München, powered by VDMA. Bauma is the world's leading fair for construction machinery, building material machines, mining machines, construction vehicles, and construction equipment. Bauma takes place every 3 years in Munich.